everyone. Welcome to Selling to Schools Radio. I'm your host, Glenn McCandless. You know, I've been thinking about covering the topic of content marketing for a long, long time. It's something I'm convinced is the best way to attract educators. After all, they're in the content business themselves. You can use content marketing to attract customers to your company and your products. So with that in mind, I invited Katie Pavachal. Katie is the Chief Marketing Officer of Presence Learning, and I've asked her to be my guest. Katie has more experience than anyone else with content marketing to educators, and she's made it a priority at Presence Learning, and it's helped them become one of the fastest growing companies in the history of educational technology. Katie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Glenn. It's great to be here today on your program, Selling to Schools Radio. Awesome. I really am looking forward to talking about one of my favorite areas, which is content marketing. So let's jump right in.
Sounds great. You know, I'm so excited about having you as my guest because nobody knows more about marketing to educators with content marketing than you do. I know how much our audience will appreciate your insight, so let's dive right in. The first thing I want to ask you, Katie, is something I touched on in the article on this topic that's now posted on sellingtoschools.com, and that is, I've always sensed a reluctance by managers in the education industry to really invest in content marketing. Why do you think managers who want to engage with school administrators and get them to be their customers are unwilling to fully commit to this approach?
Well, I think it's pretty simple, which is that content marketing done well, or even done at all, is pretty difficult, it takes time, and it costs money, and it does not provide a payback immediately. It really is about building an audience, and that takes time.
Right you are, and as we know, many of the people that run companies in our industry might not be described as patient. As you say, they want immediate results, and the idea of seeing a payoff a year later is not exactly in their wheelhouse. You know, it's a bit odd because, of course, getting quick results is not a characteristic of the education market. I don't care what matter or what approach you use to drive demand. Our industry tends to be especially product and company focused. We're really ready to do a sales pitch and a demo.
Effective content marketing really requires work, and really good content marketing starts with a very deep understanding of exactly who your audience is. Who do you want to be talking to? And what are the issues that keep them up at night? So you've really got to differentiate and be very specific about who you're talking to. So you might want to be talking to elementary school teachers, and they probably have a whole different set of things that keep them up at night than high school teachers or administrators or tech directors or whoever you might want to be talking to. So you have to really, really know who you want to talk to. So that's the other thing that is a reluctance. People want to talk to everybody, and they want to tell their story to everybody. And you really can't do that with content marketing. You have to be pretty specific. And then once you know who you're talking to, you need to know what they care about. And then you have to add something new to that whole conversation. And this is the really hard part. How do you add something new of value for your audience? And as marketeers, we think they just want to hear about our company, who's the leader of blah, 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 or our product, which is the newest cutting-edge whoop-de-doo. But they really could care less.
Okay, I get it. You've been an advocate for this approach for almost 30 years. That in itself is an awesome thing. What convinced you, Katie, that content marketing is a great way to generate qualified leads?
When I was at Apple, this was back in the olden days when we were promoting the Apple Macintosh into the higher ed environment. The Mac was very new. It didn't do very much. We didn't have a lot of software. And so what I did is I said, how in the heck are we going to promote this new thing as a learning tool? And we don't really have anything that's really relevant to promote about it. So we have to find out, what is their problem? What's their pain? What are they struggling with? And what we came up with, what schools want is an easy way to teach writing, freshman writing classes. And it turns out that the Mac with MacWrite is the simplest most awesome freshman writing machine ever. So we learned all about writing programs and composition and how writing is taught in college. And we promoted it from that perspective of solving the challenge of teaching freshmen how to write in a way that will support their whole education. We became real experts in English composition and were able to talk to the people that taught it from that perspective.
And that was with a newsletter, right? And not all that different from the publication that I highlighted in the article I wrote on this topic recently, which again, our listeners can find on sellingtoschools.com.
It was through a newsletter. And somebody said, well, this is awesome. What else have you got? So then we started looking at all of the other curriculum areas, and we started a newsletter, and we called it Syllabus, and it was an opt-in subscription. And what we noticed is every month, the subscriber base grew and grew and grew and grew, and pretty soon we had a tiger by the tail because this thing had gotten so big that we then spun it out, and it actually became a commercial publication called Syllabus, which then eventually turned into a magazine known as Campus Technology.
And that became a conference.
And then a conference. And then a whole media company.
And it all started from really understanding the audience and what they're interested in, instead of giving them a product pitch. Amazing.
So that's the power of knowing your audience and adding something new to the conversation.
So that was a long, long time ago. What's the difference now with all the tools that we have available? How is this affecting content marketing?
Well, the tools that we have today are amazing. When I first saw a marketing automation system, I could not believe that technology was now in the hands of mere mortals like myself. In the past, to do a campaign, it was a very expensive, very time-consuming endeavor. And now you can put together campaigns and put them out there and measure your response pretty much instantaneously. So you have a much greater ability to measure your results.
Boy, that's for sure. These tools are just fabulous. I know people listening will want to know, what's the challenge now with content marketing? And what's the downside? And how do you respond? Are there ways you found to stretch the reach of content marketing and get a better bang for the buck?
The downside is that a whole bunch of other people are hip to this method as well. So people are bombarded constantly by offers for content. Oh, download this white paper, get this infographic, get this, take this webinar, do that. Here's an article, here's a blog post, here's tweets, here's a Facebook post, blah, 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 all this stuff. So it's really important that you get very crisp about who your audience is and what you are offering to that audience. And it better be fresh and it better be new and quality. On the other hand, once you produce a quality piece, that quality piece is not just a one-shot deal. So, for example, we produce a webinar series. Each webinar then spawns a whole family of content. It will spawn blog posts and white papers and infographics and podcasts and blog posts and tweets. And we will offer replays of that webinar. And we offer it at certain times for credit. People can earn continuing education credits. And we have some webinars in our library that continue to pull thousands and thousands of viewers that are over 2.5 years old. So it's a big investment up front, but if you've got the right kind of content, it can live for a very long time and produce many, many fold leads and audience engagement.
Wow, that sounds too good to be true. But most of the marketing dollars invested in the education business goes into educational conferences, sometimes people call them trade shows, exhibiting and sponsorships, all of that stuff related to professional associations. It's a $100 million business in itself. And it seems that our industry just can't get enough of these meetings, and neither can educators. Have you found a way to integrate content marketing into this popular channel?
Well, we love conferences as an opportunity for our salespeople to get face-to-face with our audience, and so we encourage that. But we also take a very different approach to conferences, where we approach them as a conversation with our audience and engaging with them at the level of things that they are interested in, rather than, oh, this is an opportunity for us to get in front of these people and pitch our product. Because you know what? They don't actually want to hear about your product, not right away. They want to know that you understand them and that you get their issues and that you can have a conversation that's intelligent about what they are struggling with. And so that's how we use content at our conferences to engage with our audience. Those content pieces then become almost conversation guides for our salespeople to talk about something about other than how great our company is or how great our product is, and really engage at the level of issues with our intended audience.
I'm sure all of that is a great breath of air to the attendees of these conferences, but I see we're about out of time. So I want to close by asking you this, Katie. I'm sure even with all we've talked about for the last 10 minutes and all the publicity that people have seen about the value of content marketing, there's still people listening who are reluctant. They're saying, well, all this is really interesting and I've heard all the hoopla, but I don't really think it'll work well for us, or we've tried it before and it didn't work, or we can't afford it, all those kinds of objections and reluctance. Is there a way to convince reluctant listeners to put a toe in the water without taking a deep dive?
Well, that's a great question, Glenn. And it's one of those questions where I suspect your individual listeners may not be as reluctant as their managers might be, because you have to step out in faith to know that you are engaging your audience in a conversation that they care about and that this will produce results longer term. You will not be able to show the immediate engagement and ROI that perhaps some managers would want to see from programs. But I guarantee it that if you are hitting the right notes, you will build a strong and loyal audience, but it doesn't happen quick. So my advice is to make sure you know what you're talking about and who you're talking to, and start small. Start with a white paper or an ebook and begin offering that, and really watch the response carefully and nurture that. And if it's working, do more of that and make sure that your salespeople know how to use the particular content pieces. This is another thing that marketing might be producing really wonderful stuff, but the salespeople don't understand it and don't know how to use it. So make sure you integrate their efforts with your content marketing program and that they really get what you're doing on the marketing side so that they can put it to work for them. And our salespeople love our content. It is one of the best tools for starting a conversation, nurturing a conversation, continuing a conversation, moving the conversation along.
That sounds like great advice. After all, who ever met an educator that didn't want to have a good conversation? And it's an appropriate way to wrap up this conversation. I want to thank you again, Katie, for taking time from your very busy schedule to share such valuable information with our audience. It's just great.
Well, it's been fun. You know I love this stuff, so it's always great talking to you, Glenn, and thanks for having me.
Thanks, Katie, and thanks to all of you who are listening. And if content marketing is of interest, I encourage you to read the companion article on sellingtoschools.com and check out all the incredible free resources that are there that will help you grow your business. This community is a fantastic example of content marketing at work. So let me hear from you and let me find out from you what topics you want me to cover next that would help you boost your sales to schools. Remember, our expertise is your success. Oh, and one more thing. Have a great day.